the human being, his success, the falah of a human being, has been very clearly described in the Qur'an Hakim. Very easy to understand, and something of benefit, and something easy to understand and follow and comprehend. Allah Ta'ala, وَمَنْ يُطِئِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. We read this, we hear this, and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has in this verse of the Qur'an totally clearly presented the subject matter to us. That the success of a human being, every human being, is based on one thing. One thing. And what is that? أَتِيُوا اللَّهُ وَأَتِيُوا الرَّسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Straightforward point, easy to understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ahkams, His orders, His hukams, to practice on them, to practice on them, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his sharia, his sunnah, to implement it physically, to practice it. That's it, simple. That's the deen, and that's the route to success. The destination is clear. Even the child understands this point. The child, even a blind person, oh, if you ask, you where does this path go? How can we be successful? What do I need to do in the hereafter? What is the reason behind how we will succeed? Simple, simple, straightforward. Every person can give tabliq, can propagate the deen and explain. Do you understand what we're saying? What is it that we understood? That Allah Ta'ala said clearly, for the success of human, that when you pass away, die, you will be questioned. In the grave, the decisions will be made, paradise, hellfire, and Jannah, Jahannam, punishments will be meted out. The Qur'an explains this clearly throughout the Qur'an. We have a life in front of us that we are living. So for this life, Allah Ta'ala says, prepare one thing. What is that, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala? What did Allah says? Atiullah wa atiur Rasul. Make preparations. That's it. Me, you, whoever there is in the world. If we recited the kalima, and we believe in Allah, and we believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah's Rasul, and we have iman, alhamdulillah, we've entered into the court, isn't it? Then Allah Ta'ala's fadl was on us, we have got iman, Allah has given us belief. Then what do we need to attain success? What do we need to do? To follow the path of iman. And the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the master of the two worlds, to follow his sharia and his sunnah, his ahkams, his ways, his practice. Subhanallah. It's so simple that nobody should go into hellfire, should they? And nor should we be afraid. It's totally straightforward point to understand the solution, the method. But it's sad to say that shaitan and nafs, they are two big enemies. Shaitan, the devil, and the nafs are base desires that we, on the next part of the verse, we cover it with our hand. And for success, we have said, or we've taken hold of many different varieties of paths and methods. So in opposition to this, we've taken hold of other paths. If I say this is the way, this is the way that goes to the shopping center. And if you leave this way, this road, and go to another route, then you will have changed the route. You will have taken an alternative route. Why? Why? What's the reason for this? Oh, the situations in my life. Now, your life is different, his life's different, my life's different, everybody's life is different, different day, different night, everything. But we're sat together at the moment. Everyone's life is different. Our day passed different from morning till night. Today, the way you would have passed the day, I will have passed the day differently. I don't know what problems you've got, what issues you may have around you, what's the problem with your car, your vehicle, going out, meeting. Everyone's got a life and a history and a sequence of events. But all of us have the common destination. And to get that success, we have to do Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul. So it's the same way, no different. So it's Allah's hikmah, how He keeps us in the world, why He does this, why He doesn't give us this, why does He give us this. And in every condition we are in the life, doesn't matter how Allah keeps us, we cannot forget our destination, can we? Because we're going to go there. For a fact, don't go off track from the destination, the route. Otherwise we will be unsuccessful. But the problem is, the sad scenario is, that to take hold of the route and get to the destination, we have tried to take hold of other routes. We haven't implemented the route of Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul. We go on other paths and routes and we don't get there. So why is this? Because our nafs doesn't allow us to follow the path, and nor does shaitan leave us. Our self, our nafs and desires doesn't allow us to follow the path to the destination. The shaitan detracts us. Everyone says, I'm fine, I'm totally okay. Even though we don't see Atiullah and Atiur Rasul in that person's life, he says or she says, I'm fine. Let's just look at one part of our life. The Allah Ta'ala has given us hukam, orders to implement deeds. Are we doing those? No. No. Those actions that Allah Ta'ala has told us to refrain from, have we refrained? No. So how can I be successful? How can I say I'm successful? Or how can I say I'm okay, just leave me? It's difficult. So I am inviting Jahannam towards me. So the consequence, the result, is that we need to first make that strong intention and determination that I want to attain success in the hereafter no matter what. And I want to make my life a total reflection of Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul. Now circumstances will befall us, come around us, illness, problems, difficulties, worries, getting married, children, husband, wife, the in-laws, the mother-in-law. This is life, the journey of life. It's got to continue. But the whole life and all the phases of life, doesn't matter how many ups and downs come, we cannot leave our destination, can we? Because we're going to get there anyway. So what do we have to do? We have to attain Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul, so that this is our assistance for us during this life to get to the destination. And alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, if we are consistent on this, and despite all the issues around us, we make one focus, one target, Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul. No, oh, it's okay, I'll leave this. What difference does it make? No, shaitan is detracting you. If Allah Ta'ala orders anywhere to do something or to leave something, we have to obey. Obey. And the person who says you can leave this, he is the biggest mufti shaitan. Remember this. If somebody says to you, oh, you can do this, this is permissible, when it is not, then he is the biggest shaitan mufti. Shaitan does this. Shaitan does this. He is the one who takes us to wrong. So hayat, that we cannot change our destination and our route to our destination, which is Allah, by complaining of our problems and issues. So if I'm not following the path of deen, of iman, and then I come off track, then I shouldn't be deceived or deceive myself. I'm fine, I'm okay. Who am I deceiving? Reality is I'm deceiving myself. Myself. So what we realize here is that many people want to do this. Everyone wants to get to Allah. Everyone, isn't it? Isn't it? But here, the conditions around us force us off the track. So cool. So how do we come off this? These issues around us make us do haram. They make us lie. The problems in our life take us to the bad path, towards sins. And what is this? How do I get out of this sort of vicious cycle and control my life, so I can get to the destination successfully? How do I successfully travel on this path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So my brothers, to control and manage our affairs, there's one way. Once a person has iman in the heart, there's one method that, how can I make myself follow Allah's orders and Rasulullah's orders and ways? And there's one way. And what is that tariqah? What is that method? That method is Allah Ta'ala's love. Allah Ta'ala's love. Very simple. Whose love? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, how do we get Allah's love? How do we turn it? That all the other desires and loves, you can say, or attractions, we need to suppress and allow Allah Ta'ala's love to overwhelm. Everyone, Muslim, every believer has love for Allah. Everyone who recites the kalama has love for Allah. Who is it that doesn't have love of Allah? Everybody has love. But, do we have the love on that level, that scale, that when Allah's ahkam comes, that we accept and implement? And if problems around us, issues, distress, then the love of Allah doesn't care about those things. It's just like obstacles on a journey. You got to get around them, over them, beyond them, below them. Because the love of Allah, that is ongoing forever. And if we put that love of Allah, if we create that in our hearts and it comes into our hearts, then alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. No power of the dunya can prevent that individual to implement the ahkams of Allah, yeah, or the way of Rasulullah. Now, we are unsuccessful, we have steered off course, we're in the choppy waters, we're far from our manzil, our destination, and we are living the life without ahkam ilahi, without the ahkams of Allah, and we think that we will get success like this. If we want to get through this life with success, then first we need to revive, kindle, rekindle, increase
bring the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the heightened heart. That there's no other attraction or love of the world that will say la in comparison to Allah, except for illallah, la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. This is the kalima we recite, isn't it? That any hukum that comes, whatever, whoever says anything, whatever conditions befall me, problems, ups and downs, left, right, backward, reverse gear, no, la ilaha illallah. That doesn't matter what happens in life, that's fine, I'll persevere, but I cannot leave this order of Allah, what Allah Ta'ala has ordered me to do. Because He is the supreme, He is the controller. Okay, you're doing Hajj, you're doing Umrah, you're praying Salah, you're reading Quran, recitation of Quran, Qiraat, Tasbihat, good. This is all worship, good, praise be to Allah. But have I reached to that platform after doing all of this worship, that when Allah orders me something, that I implement it? Or if Allah says, don't do this, do I leave it? Is it? How shocking that I don't. How shocking. And if I say I want deen and dunya, when this situation comes, no, it's hard, it's difficult for me, that I do tasbih in the morning, I do dhikr in the evening, I read so many juz of Quran, I do so much prostration, I do this action, that action. We start relating the Jack and Ori tale. And then Allah says, don't do this action. Oh, no, I can't do that. That's difficult. That's hard for me. This is our deen, isn't it? This is our deen. Yes? So if we do this, then we are throwing everything into the mud. That we are worshipping Allah, and then on top of that, we're not listening to Allah. Then how can this be? Look, Shaitan, he did hundreds of thousands, millions of ibadat. Millions. He had, you could say, burnt the bridge between him and disobedience for hundreds of thousands of years, you could say. That there was no part, square inch of the heavens and the earth where he did not implement good deeds, worship. But was he saved? No, because he was arrogant and he was staunch on one thing, that he refused, and Allah Ta'ala shunned him. So let's hear, understand this point. That's fine. We do ibadah, we do worship, but on top of ibadah, in parallel, that if we are worshipping Allah, we should not disobey Him. That is when you'll enjoy the worship. And if we put the worship in front of us and we do what we want, what we feel, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that, and this much sadaqah I've given, I've done this, and I'm doing this as well, I've given charity, I'm worshipping. Fine, everyone's doing this, alhamdulillah. But we are disobeying the Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the same time, then all of our worship is waste. We have no deeds running. And when these conditions befall us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated in the Quran Hakim, فَاتِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَنْتَ وَلِيِّي فِي الدُّنْيَا. Subhanallah, وَالْآخِرَةِ. Allahu Akbar. فاتر السماوات والأرض أنت ولي في الدنيا والآخرة توفني مسلما وألحقني بالصالحين. توفني مسلما وألحقني من بالصالحين. This is a verse of the Quran, Subhanallah. And who recited this verse in this Quran? That Allah Ta'ala has protected this verse in the Quran, preserved it, and such a great azim, Nabi of Allah, Prophet of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a condition. He was in a predicament. And every prophet has his speciality. The prophet of his time has a unique characteristic. And that characteristic is high level, supreme. And that day and age, Allah sends the prophet. And when there's a certain fitna or certain issues in that environment or in the people society, then Allah ta'ala gives that Nabi a special quality. So this Nabi came at that time. For example, sometimes technology or you can say educational levels are high. So Allah ta'ala then sends the Nabi to propagate the deen, the oneness of Allah, so that he can rad and reject the things that people are doing wrong and bring Allah Ta'ala's deen high up. So like for example, at the time of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, there were a lot of magicians and magic and spells. So Allah Ta'ala gave the quality to Musa alayhi salam that he opposed the magicians, competed against them and won over them. So Allah Ta'ala gave him that strength, that quality at the time. So here you can say this is a dua. This is a verse of the Quran and a prayer. فَاتِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَنْتَ وَلِيِّي فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. That is stated, فَاتِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam said that, O Allah, creator of the heavens and the earth, أَنْتَ وَلِيِّي فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. That you are the creator of the heavens and earth, Allah, and you are my protecting friend, Allah, in this world and thereafter. You are the supreme control. And he had the experience and he's doing dua to Allah. Because he was in a predicament that time. He said, Allah, anta waliyi fi dunya wal akhirah, tawaffani muslima wa alhaqni bi salihin. That this is the point here, that our death should be with iman. Because he said, tawaffani, Allahu Akbar. He said, Allah, tawaffani muslima wa alhaqni bi salihin. Allah, make me pass away that I'm submissive to you at that time when I pass away, and join me to the righteous. And such a beautiful dua that has Yusuf alayhi salam recited, that Allah preserved it in the Quran. Allah loved this verse and this dua of his Nabi, that so when the Ummah of Rasulullah would come, they would recite this, Tawaffani Musliman wa alhiqni misalihin, that Allah, when I pass away, give me a beautiful passing away. And he had ajeeb khwaish, ajeeb desire, wa alhiqni misalihin, and Allah, please allow my hereafter to be reckoned with the righteous. Allow me to be joined with the righteous, the walis of Allah, with the ghaus, with the kutub, those people who had that rank, that level in the dunya, the great sheikhs you've sent to the world, and you make them apparent and you send them to the world to benefit the people. Allah, wa alhiqni bisalihi, wa alhiqni bisalihi. And which Nabi was this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Nabi, Prophet Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. And within Yusuf alayhi salam, Allah ta'ala instilled a beautiful characteristic. And one of the beautiful characteristics was the husn of Yusuf, the beauty of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. He was very handsome and beautiful. At that time, there were a lot of people who liked beauty and handsomeness. And handsomeness was appreciated, whether it was a man or a woman. Husn was spread around society. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created his Nabi that nothing can compare to the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam. Because beauty at that time was common, you could say, or strong as a quality amongst the people. So the beauty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, then half of the world, take half of the beauty of the world and put it one time, and Allah ta'ala distributed it into two parts. That Allah ta'ala gave half of the beauty to the world, and the other half of the beauty at that time Allah gave to Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. Imagine this, that half of the beauty that time was given to the world, and half was to Yusuf alayhi salam. And if you collect them both together and go beyond that, that's the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the hukm. Now here, that for example, Allah ta'ala gave husn and beauty and this quality. That remember, Allah ta'ala made his Habib, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, jamia, that the beauty that was there at that time was within Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and beyond that he was the jamia, the complete Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our Nabi, the greatest Nabi. The greatest world. So going back to this example, Allah Ta'ala gave Husn a fantastic beauty to Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, supreme beauty and handsomeness. That Allah Ta'ala preserved the story of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam in the Quran. That Yusuf alayhi salam's beauty was such that by looking at his beauty, the beautiful women of Egypt, because Husn used to, you could say, travel at that time and become aware. Allah Ta'ala mentioned the event that Zulaykha, who was the woman, she fell in love with Yusuf alayhi salam, and then she showed to her friends that, why am I the Ashik, because we read the Quran, we see these verses, the old women, they were invited by Zulaykha. In other words, such an example you cannot see in the world, that someone becomes so in love with the beauty of somebody else. Subhanallah. Apart what? Apart from Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That here something else was given. Here the fingers were cut, but there something else was cut. Subhanallah. So going back to the example. So Zulaykha invited all her friends and other women, that let me show you the beauty. And she gave the apples and the knives to the women. Imagine, they fell into a trance. They lost themselves, that they were like unconscious, that the injection of love came into them. Reason was that they loved beauty, they ran after attraction, and they wanted beauty, that they appreciated beauty, that qadr of husn. So when they saw the husn of Hazrat Yusuf al-Islam, they lost themselves. They were so in love and attracted, crazy in their love. They didn't know that, should we cut the apple or they cut our fingers? They cut their fingers, all of them. This was the kamal of the husn of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. And here is a point that emanates here, a technical point, that the husn, the beauty of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, and the women, why did they fall in love and why were they attracted? That they became so attracted with this beauty. There's a technical point here. The women were called by Hazrat, by Zulaykha. Why didn't the men get called? Why didn't the men cut their fingers? Look here at the point. This is Quran, Allah's kalam, Allah's verses, and this is the reality, that wherever a man is beautiful, but the other men folk cannot recognize his beauty. But Allah Ta'ala has given the quality of identification in the opposite sex, that to identify the beauty of a man, handsomeness of a man, the women will have to do this. The men cannot identify, they cannot recognize there's a young man, handsome, beautiful. But the reality, ashik on that man will be who? If it's a woman, then if she is attractive, then you can say that that person is attractive. So this is a sift Allah Ta'ala has instilled into each of the opposite sexes, that for a man to be recognized, identified as handsome, it's the women who will do this, and for a woman to be identified, it's the men who will do this. So only the women can say that the man is handsome or beautiful, because Allah Ta'ala has instilled this sifat and quality into the women. That's why Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam's beauty, to explain it, to spread it, the men were not called, the women were called, that these women, they will fall in love with his attraction. And this is a point, and this came to mind, I'm explaining it to you. It's coming from there and it's going from here. It's going from there and it's coming from here. This point, subhanAllah. So Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam's beauty was on Uruj heights, and the men, they were detached. I forget, you won't know. And the women, they were high quality, high status women, and they were in love with beauty. They were looking for beauty. They knew what was beauty, and they were called to witness the beauty of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. So Allah Ta'ala in this verse, Allah Ta'ala mentions the reality that Hazrat Yusuf, all in this surah, Allah Ta'ala explains the life and the key events that took place in the life of Hazrat Yusuf. He was beautiful, he had good qualities, he was the Nabi, he was born into the household of a Nabi, a prophet. There were many things that happened, circumstances, and what happened. Long story, long event, but just to summarize, this is Quran, and I'm repeating so that we can understand better. So his brothers, the brothers, the father, he went, and the brothers, and they're all sons of a Nabi, all of them. And they grabbed hold of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, their brother, they dragged him, they beat him. They beat him, they had a plan, a wretched plan, and they tied nooses around his neck. Youngest brother, all of them, Mufassirin commentators write that they dragged him, beat him, nothing they had done wrong. He said, "What have I done? What's my fault? Why are you hitting me, my brothers? What have I done? We're just playing with you. I'm just playing with you." And they're not listening to him. On his face, on his hands, they're beating him. Young child, as a Yusuf alayhi salam, that's it, beat him, hit him, and let's do something worse than that. And he said, no, don't do this. And one said, "Look, there's a well, let's throw him, tie him up and throw him into the well." Allahu Akbar. Look what they did to their younger brother. Let's get rid of him, destroy him, and he'll die and somebody may pick him up and take him away. Bye, brother. Why? Why did they do this to their direct relation, their brother? What's this ayah telling us? The verse. My brothers, there's one thing in the dunya, remember this point, that when that is created in the heart of a person and his heart is not clean, then they don't know whose brother is a brother, he doesn't know about uncle, there's no respect for children, there's no regard, and then oppression starts, and that is what is in our society today, and that is hasad. Jealousy and envy. Their brothers, the real brothers, blood brothers, became jealous when they saw his great qualities of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. They couldn't accept this. They were burning the fire in their hearts. And this is the worst sin in the heart, which is jealousy, which came into their hearts. Because jealousy and extreme envy is such a quality that just like fire devours wood, dry wood, jealousy devours the iman. The fire of jealousy keeps on burning. So remember this one point now. That these conditions came into the life of Hazrat Yusuf al-Islam. His brothers planned, plotted, they grabbed him, beat him, hit him. They were dragging him along the ground. They did zulm with him, oppressed him. They wanted to kill him. And this wasn't a normal situation that befell Hazrat Yusuf al-Islam. Is it? That did he leave his God? Did he leave Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. Did Hazrat Yusuf al-Islam leave? So this true story tells us in an extreme way that doesn't matter what extreme problems surround you in life, but you have to stay steadfast on your mission, journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here the brothers were burning, raging, jealousy. Remember this point, that like they are children of a father, every child will have a different level, quality, status, characteristics. And like, for example, uncles, that's why uncles, they fight over the children. And that's why the sheikh and the students, they have a relationship. And amongst the students, you can see jealousy. One student will be jealous, "Oh, that student, he's progressed, he's promoted, he's gone better in dhikr, he's more pious, he's more spiritual." What happens then? The hasad comes in the heart, the jealousy comes in the heart. And why does this happen? Why does this occur? Because shaitan, wretched shaitan, he creates the rift and friction definitely between two brothers. Whenever you see that someone's progressing spiritually, physically, and I'm always a person does progress more than other people. So when you see someone who's progressing, the jealousy comes, or he's promoted somewhere, jealousy comes, or he's got more of something and you haven't, the jealousy comes. This is a sign of iman. Beware. How dare we? Never let's do this. That if we've got jealousy and hasad and we start to become envious and jealous of someone, because when we are jealous of that person, we will take the loss. And the person we're jealous of, he will get higher in the levels. So we're not even gaining anything by being jealous. So this is the reality that when jealousy begins, then when you are jealous of a person on a certain quality or something that person's got, then the solution is do dua for that person. Allah, give him more. I'm happy for him. Allah, why am I jealous? And when you do this dua for that person, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah, glory be to Allah, he will take me to that same level. If I genuinely do pray for that, because this life is a test. And in every way, we have to pass the test and get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala successfully. This is a journey, a physical journey, and this obstacle may come in our life. This situation may come in our life. We may become jealous of someone, extremely negatively envious of a person. We have to get over that hurdle, jump over the hurdle. Allah says, this is my path. If naturally jealousy comes into your heart, then get rid of that jealousy. How? That do dua for that person who you are jealous against. Do dua for his good qualities, his characteristics. And on top of that, say, Allah, give me as well, please. But to be jealous and to let it carry on burning. And just like the brothers of Yusuf, what was the result? The result that those who have hasad and the person who you have hasad against, envious against, the same conclusion came in. The takht, the seat was there. Eventually one day it came and he was in a position of leadership. His brothers came, they bowed their heads and he was sat on a high level, high status. He was given kingdom, ruler. He was the ruler, the leader, and he was given dreams and beautiful life. And the people who had the hasad, the jealousy, they were lower than him physically, spiritually. So whenever there's a person who's jealous, remember, he can never be successful in life. Never. Never can he take the good qualities from that person who he's jealous of. Allah's given something to someone, one's gone ahead, one's left behind. No problem. You ask and you will get it as well, inshallah. Just like Allah Ta'ala can give to them, he can give to you. And somebody gets something quicker, somebody takes longer, somebody gets something quicker. He did amal on the good points, Allah Ta'ala gave him rewards quicker. It doesn't mean you can't get them. Don't be jealous. So this was a topic, a little bit on the side, but it's important to understand. So here Allah Ta'ala mentions this also in the story of Hazrat Yusuf. But the original point I go back to that I mentioned in the beginning, what do we need for success? Whatever conditions befall us in our life, we need to carry on the journey towards our destination. And these are the four things we'll see in this verse. The same objective of me, what I'm reciting, the Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam's example, Allah Ta'ala is making us learn, and this example of his prophet. The first example, the first point is, whatever conditions befall us, negative hardships, problems, distresses, worries, what should we do? Remain steadfast, consistent on the path to Allah. How? What did Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam teach us in this verse of the Quran? Fatir as-samawati wal-ard. The first direction of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam from this verse. Whatever conditions, problems, issues, worries, whatever is happening in life, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam did one thing. He did the dhikr of Allah. This is dhikr. This recitation, Fatir as-samawati wal-ard, is a great dhikr. Great recitation. And it is dhikr itself. What? Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, what is he saying? That Allah, it is you only who is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And it is dhikr. To recite this statement, what is the meaning of dhikr? Ism, Allah, to remember Allah, to praise Him. Musammi, that if you mention someone, madhkur, you are busy, you are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself, the Creator, to think about Allah, to bring it into the heart. This is dhikr. This is remembrance of Allah. Ism Allah, Allah's name, when we recite it, remember it. Hazrat, my Shaykh said, rahmatullahi, that it's not just dhikr, but to think about Allah, not just to say it on the tip of your tongue, but to think about Allah, to ponder about Allah, His status, His glory, His power, His jamal, His beauty, His kamal, everything, it should become solid and be revised in the heart. Fatir as-samawati wal-ard. All of the praises to Allah, all of the glory of Allah, all of the strength and the power of Allah, it should descend into our heart and become solid and robust and strengthened. And this is called dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah. Remember, not just, oh, dhikr is something else and we just come, Allah, Allah. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His name, this is the ism, this is Allah's name. But where do we have to reach? We have to reach to Allah Ta'ala's depth of recognition of Allah. All of Allah Ta'ala's greatness, His azmat, His power, His glory, all of His qualities and attributes, everything should strongly descend into our heart, properly, clear. And when it descends, then will love increase or not? I ask you the question. So first point we learn from this verse, that whatever situations befall us, arise around us, that look, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, look how the test came at the time of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. There was the well, he was given then leadership, he spent time in jail. What difficult situations he had to pass through, but in every test he directed himself to Allah. Fatir as-samawati wal-ard. What do we need? Allah Ta'ala says that when you see the problems come around you, issues arise, but whose assistance do we have to grab hold of? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's dhikr. Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. Fatir as-samawati wal-ard. That's it. Grab hold of dhikr, then what will occur? What will happen? The second thing will occur. Allah Ta'ala's love will come into the heart. So number one, remember Allah in every second of life, doesn't matter what's happening, and the love of Allah will come to that. Then, فَاتِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَنْتَ وَلِيِّي فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Oh Allah, it is you. Then we will realize that Allah is the karsaz. Allah is the helper. Allah is the protector. And all the assistance, whether it's in this world and the hereafter, world and hereafter, who is the one who will assist and give? Allah. Allah. So here, what do we realize? That when a person reaches to that position, he does dhikr of Allah, dhikr of Allah, dhikr of Allah, dhikr of Allah. Kamal sifat, kamal jamal comes into the heart of that person. And then all of the Allah Ta'ala's remembrance comes and overwhelms the heart. Then tawakkal Allah is created. Reliance in Allah. Reliance in the Creator. Does it, if the dunya says do haram, but he trusts in Allah, he says, no, I will never consume haram. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has put me in this situation, I'm happy, and I will not break Allah's laws and ahkams, because He's realized, "Anta waliyyi fi dunya," that Allah is my protector, Allah is my assistant. This world and thereafter, everything will come from Allah. So rather than me bow to the dunya, beg to the dunya, do unlawful actions to earn, break the laws of the world and the Allah to earn, no, I need to follow Allah and trust in Allah. "Anta waliyyi fi dunya," that I trust in you, Allah. You are my helper. You are my assistant. You will protect me. You will assist me. You will give to me. You will take from me. It's very simple to understand. So first point, فاتر السماوات والأرض. First do the dhikr of Allah, kathir and kathira, abundance. What will then happen? Point two, the love of Allah will come to heart, tawakkal Allah will come to heart. And it will never occur then that if a person's dhikr is complete, and he's become a dhakir, and all the safat have come onto his heart, then will he leave Allah? Will he leave Allah? What is the meaning of leaving Allah? That he will leave the orders of Allah, the ahkams of Allah, he will follow his own whims and desires, and lifestyle and framework? No, where Allah Ta'ala tells us to refrain. If Allah says it's haram, then consider it haram. If Allah says it's jais halal, consider it halal and permissible. If Allah says that there is profit here, profits there. If there's loss here, there's loss here. We cannot understand that. We cannot differentiate. If Allah says that this is my hukum, then there's no greater benefit than the hukum of Allah. The hukum of Allah. Nothing. أَنْتَ وَلِيِّي فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Both things, world and hereafter, Allah is the Malik, the creator, the controller, the owner. To create this awareness, feeling, emotion, to attain this maqam and level, tawakkal, to get tawakkal, reliance in Allah 100%, we need to do dhikr in abundance, high quantity. That's it. So I need to measure myself now. Let me analyze myself. Is my dhikr taking me here? Has my dhikr taken me to the level that I trust in Allah 100%? That every order of Allah I accept and I don't reject? Has it ever happened that I've made a mistake, I've rejected Allah's orders? The question doesn't arise, Allah, that I will reject you. So the mujahidat that we have to do, the struggling and striving and making effort, you can say, Hazrat Yusuf salam, he said, what didn't occur to me? The test that came to me. But Allah Ta'ala, He took me out of the problems, didn't He? Did He not take me out of the well? Did He not deliver me to the palace? Did He not take me out of the jail? Did He not give me the dreams? Did He not give me sultanates and kingdoms? He gave me everything. Why? Because He had tawakkal Allah, He trusted in Allah. And the person who trusts in Allah, relies on Allah, he will leave one haram due to the trust in Allah. Allah will open 100 alternative doors of halal. I swear by Allah and tell you this. But first thing we have to make, first thing is to, we have to revive, strengthen and inculcate tawakkal Allah, reliance and trust in Allah in our hearts. This is the test. That a person, a woman, a man, brother or sister, leaves one order of Allah. Don't make excuses. No, everyone else in the world does this. It's hard for me. And I have to do this. No. The person who practices and obeys, he's successful. He brings tawakkal in his life. Doesn't matter what happens. Let's see what happens. He jumps into the pool, into the deep end. I want to attain Allah. Allah is calling me, dragging me, and inviting me. I need to get to Allah. Then he breaks the shackles, the chains of his desires and the shaitan to get to Allah. And who assists us? Who helps us? Dhikr will assist us. Dhikr. And for this, not 10, just a little amount. No, do as much dhikr as you can so that you get to this position. You don't count because we have to take the medicine. For example, there's a medicine for a problem. You're taking antibiotics and you've got a cough, chest infection, like I've got a cough, and I go to the doctor and he gives me 10 milligrams of a certain antibiotic. I'm not well. After a few days, I go back. Will the doctor reduce the concentration, strength, or increase it? He'll increase it. Then I'll go, he'll increase it. He'll increase the dose, increase the concentration, increase the strength. You've got blood pressure, he'll give you a stronger medicine. To that point that the haram doesn't come out of our heart, then we are not doing amal on Allah Ta'ala's ahkams, and sharia and sunnah is not totally in our life. Okay, you've got a beard, an imamah, turban. Okay, I've got to that level. Fair enough, I've got white clothes and I think I'm pious. My brothers, this is not deen. This is not the essence of our deen. This is not me attaining my destination. Manzil is that where the path of haram is open, the doors to haram are open, and there's millions that is available to you, but you say, you kick it into touch, say, I don't want this money, it doesn't matter what happens. And you've got poverty and hunger in opposition, and there's nothing else, darkness and poverty, hunger. But Allah Ta'ala says, the person who has that much tawakkal in me, that I will illuminate his life entirely. Try this and see what happens. Subhanallah, this is tasawwuf, rectification of the heart. This is the path of the tasawwuf. So we understand these points now. What's the third point? Tawaffani min al-muslimin. Subhanallah. So if we want husni khatima, if we want a good death, then we need good deeds to give us a good death, don't we? We need good deeds. So husni khatima, a good death. What do we do? Allah Ta'ala says, successful is that human being whose end is successful. You understand? That if you see someone walking around running, he's on Hajj, Umrah, praying Salah, no guarantee. There's no guarantee. Where is there the guarantee? That when the person's leaving the world reciting the kalama, alhamdulillah, and reciting the kalama of Allah, Allah Ta'ala's deen, and people are burying him in the nice way. He's departing from the world doing dhikr of Allah, he's remembering Allah, reciting the kalama, he left the world and died, and everyone's burying him in that state. Then everyone in the world in the hereafter will say, ah, he's attained success. That today, for example, let's say a person's in the world walking around doing something. There was a janazah today in Tayyib Masjid, and I felt emotional at that time because we remember death, and the qabr comes to the mind. Sulman bhai, our brother, and he, mashallah, he, Allah Ta'ala makes him do this duty, the work, and Sulman kola. And he does this work. He did khidmah. I said, where are you? He said, I said, where's the janazah? Whose janazah? He said, it was a Pakistani. He was an old man. He used to come to pray salah. What was his name? His name was this. I said, Sulman Sab, where did you bury him? He said, just 2 hours ago. I said, what's this time now? I said, the phase of the grave has started. His life in the grave has started. The first night of the grave. The grave will have opened up. The angels would have come. And we don't know these things, the world. And now he's left this world. Everything has gone. He is totally 100% detached from this world now. I said, this is going to happen to me and to you. To all of us. It's going to happen. But what a great, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is presenting a reality to us. A reality. We need to ask that brother who's now in the grave, are you successful, brother, or are you unsuccessful? Did you read this verse of the Quran? Did you understand this verse? And successful is he who lived his life with Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul. Now let's ask that brother. Brother, you were in the world, the hunger, thirst, and poverty of the world. Do you remember it? Do you remember the problems you had in life? And the way you used to run around like a headless chicken and commit fraud and haram and interest, and you constructed your home. Do you remember that now in the grave? And now will the hardship of the grave allow him to remember? He will forget everything of the world. Within 1 second, he will forget. We run all our life wrong. We commit haram, implement haram, earn haram. We do wrong things to earn this dunya, assets, buildings, and nothing of that we will remember in the grave. What a big, big deception. May Allah forgive. Big deception. We with our eyes are looking at people who've died and buried them. I said, you've just buried him. And he started to cry. Alhamdulillah, the brother. I said, me, we just prayed Maghrib. And me, I became a bit emotional as well at that time. That this is life. And how will I succeed? Now he's in the grave. Yesterday he was above the grave. A few hours ago he was above the grave. Above the crust of the earth. And then suddenly he died. He went into the grave. And what do we do for the world? We lie, deceive, oppress, interest, haram. And then in the grave we will be asked, Atiullah wa Ati Rasul, did you implement this? What if I made no preparation? What if I did no dhikr? And what if I didn't make the intention that I want to leave haram, don't touch haram, so that dunya can come out of my heart? I don't even do this. Hazrat used to state, my sheikh, that what is the secret behind success? Love of Allah. Love of Allah. Increase your love of Allah. How? What is tawakkal? What will tawakkal give us? Look, Hazrat Yusuf al-Islam, he said, what made me successful? Where? How did I attain success? In the well, in the jail? Why was I happy, at peace? He's given the message that do this. How? How did he get success? Why did he get uruj and the heights? Because he remembered Allah. So he demonstrated to his ummah, to the people, that this is the proof, physical proof from Hazrat Yusuf, that the person who is negligent and doesn't remember Allah, never will he get love of Allah. And the person who doesn't have love of Allah in his heart will never obey Allah. Never. Wahid, there's one action that can make us obey Allah. What is that? The love of Allah. Love of Allah. Whenever we see that my hands are going towards sin, my eyes are going astray towards sin, I ask myself, is this permissible? What I'm doing? Oh no, somebody else said I can do this. Leave that person. Forget his direction. and verdict. Ask your heart, that is this fitna in this action? Is there haram coming from this action? Is this unlawful? Will this take me towards sin? And how much am I going towards haram with this action? لا تقربوا فاحشة. Allah says, لا تقرب فاحشة. That don't even go. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً. Ask your heart. No. I read this much Quran. I just prayed Salah. I do voluntary worship. Shaitan tricks us and gives us encouragement to go towards the sin. The same point comes. That Allah, my Rabb, I've just worshipped. I am disobeying Him. I'm disobeying. I'm stood in front of Him. And I've made an idol in front of me. My desires. Who will ask my worship? What worship I did? Allah said, I did not create you to worship. I created you to be a servant. Humanity. To be a true servant of mine. If I say stand, sit, lie down, come in the night, morning, hungry, all day stay hungry. You keep on doing what I've told you. And this is called servanthood. We weren't created to worship. We were created to become servants of Allah. Slaves of Allah. Tawaffana, subhanallah. Tawaffani muslimo walhiqni bisali. If we want our life in the hereafter to be successful, first I need to do dhikr. On top of dhikr, I need to leave the disobedience to Allah. Then the love of Allah will come to the heart. Then I'll have a death of a believer. Beautiful death. Not by words. Not by stories and lectures and debates. Today, let's improve our lives. What should we do with our previous life? Put the hands up. Allah, forgive me all the actions, all the sins forgiven. From the morning, new life, sharia, face, appearance, libas, everything. That's good. But on top of that, the things that are disobedience, leave them. After that, wells will come, jails will come, tests will come. Just like as a Yusuf alayhi salam's test, he was thrown into the well, into the jail, beaten, problems. And we will pass those tests just like he did. And we will pass the phases, the hurdles will jump over them. Allah says in the Quran. Allah, anta waliyi, subhanallah, anta waliyi fi dunya wal akhirah. Allah, you're my friend when I go into imprisonment and I'm hungry, poverty, no clothes. Allah, you're watching, and then a time will come you will give to me, even if I've got extreme difficulty. Why should I think that I can only be successful? I have to go towards haram, this will give me success. Allah says, okay, then you may have another Lord who gives you haram, allows you to eat. You did not listen to me, Allah. Allah says, fine, carry on going after the unlawful actions, and let's see how long this can last. Your dhikr is a lie, your Quran is a lie, your prostration is a lie, your umrah is a lie, your hajj is a lie, your tahajjud is a lie, you are doing fraud, you're deceiving. Why? Because you are disobeying me, Allah Ta'ala says. Everything, despite doing this, and you go and with ease, you slip. You worship and then you slip and sin because you don't have tawakkal, you don't know Allah. So why have we read this verse? Allah says, why have you read this verse? Why did you read this verse? And Allah says, in the Quran, anta waliyyi fid dunya. Why did you say this? And Allah says, munafiq, hypocrite, two-faced. You say, Allah, that you are my protector. I say, and then I make the haram my protection. And I go towards trickery and forgery and fraud and deception. This is shaitan. Well, I go towards shaitan. I obey shaitan. I make him my friend. Allah says, if you are honest and you had yaqeen in me and you accepted me as the wali, as the assistant, and the protector. Look, as Yusuf alayhi salam was thrown into the well, he trusted in Allah. He was taken out of the well. Then Jibreel alayhi salam was there first. He opened his wings. He didn't let Yusuf alayhi salam to fall into the well. Zulaikha shut all the doors. One door, two, three. When she shut all the doors and she trapped Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, alhamdulillah, he was trapped. And then Allah Ta'ala released him. And he was young and he was handsome and the woman was beautiful. What will happen now? Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam said, Allah, what will happen? Allah, anta waliyi fi dunya. Allah, you are my assistant. You only can protect me. Allah, the doors have closed. 1, 2, 3, 7 doors were sealed, padlocked. The woman's there, prepared, naked, ready. She's calling me. But Allah, I accept you are my protector. Allah, I want to get out of it. Allah Ta'ala says, whichever door he went to, the door opened and he ran. And these are the examples, my brothers. Allah Ta'ala showed the shan of the person of iman. I swear by Allah, demonstrate this, practice this, and how Allah's love will come, and assistance will come, and help will come. You will be amazed. Those names of Allah. Close one door of haram, save your stomach. Wallah, by Allah, before death, you will get such names Allah will give to you that you cannot imagine. But what is there? Anta waliyyi. That we are living the life of deception. We are lying. Our salah is a lie. Our prostration is a lie. Our recitation of Quran. We are living our life on fraud. We want to make our own gods just like the other person. We have our own idols. You know, people make idol. Okay, I'm going on a journey. Okay, let's make our own idol statue. So we'll be hungry. This is a sweet box. Let's mold the sweets into an idol. When we get hungry, we'll eat it. So they're traveling. They bought the sweets and they molded into an idol. When they became hungry, then they were worshipping it. And then they got to a place. They were hungry. Then they opened the box and they started to eat it. And they ate the leg and this and that. They ate the whole idol. And we're like this. This is our recognition of Allah. That in 1 minute we leave it. The sign comes. The sign comes, we come off track. Ula salah and dhikr and worship all disappears. Anta wali. Allah, we say, Allah, you are protector. Allah, you are helping me. The person who is striving is the person who has yaqeen on this. The whose order is stopping me? The who's telling me to do haram? Who's taking me towards the sin? Whose hukum is this? So, for example, the sahaba ikram radiallahu anhum, when they started to follow Rasulullah, and there was a sahabi, I forgot his name, he was Ansari, and I think it was Badri. And he said that, listen, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, pay attention, think now. Think, I don't force you. That there's a less number at the moment. You can still go back, it's your choice, you don't have to come. And he cried. After crying, he raised his hand and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this is the qawm of Musa alayhi wa sallam who did this, turning their face and running away. You are saying this to me? Even if you tell me to do so much more and cry, I will do so much, O Prophet of Allah, that we have taken your hand and you think I will go back? No, I will not turn back. How can this be? Here, the yaqeen, certainty. Tell me. So, today, at that time, they had no water, no slippers, no dhoti, no clothes, no sheets to wear. Let's go. Rasulullah would say, let's go. Let's go on the journey. Let's go. Where will we eat from? We don't know. Where will we drink rum from? We don't know. What is this? This is not fiction story. We read this, open the book. Oh, he came, this sahabi ikram, he did this, and he did this, and he went there, and the sangha did this, and they went, Allah, and then we do dua, wa akhru da'wana, alhamdulillah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Is this the reason we read about them? Is this the deen? The enjoyment is this, that we hear these words today. We read the verse of the Quran. Am I reading Gita? Is this Gita? Is this some other kitab? Or am I reading a poem to you? This is the enjoyment. If we have the heart of the mu'min, this is the verse of the Quran. It should descend into the heart. Just like this. When you leave after the gathering, you are throwing away the sins from the dust that is settled on the heart. And this is the striving and the making of the effort. So do our thoughts go this way? Do we think this way? And we are trembling and shaking now. When he comes and he salutes us, ah, I have come to take you and your last breath is here. And then he takes the soul out. That's when we'll shake and tremble and sweat. Oh, if only I did that, the Allah, the Rasul. Because this is a dream, this world for us, isn't it? We won't even realize that life will have passed so quickly, for which we have run around like headless chickens and made effort for nothing. So if we want the cure, there's one cure. What is the verse further? What is the fourth point that's made here? As a Yusuf al-Islam taught us, وَأَلْحِكْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ. And Allah, that Allah be my protecting friend in this world and the hereafter, and make me pass away submissive and join me to the righteous. Allah. So did Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam said, Allah give me the rich people as company, or the kings? He was a king himself. Did he say, Allah give me the wealthy people as friends, give me businessmen as my assistants? No, we see everything around us, standing, sitting. Did he ask for a millionaire to be his friend? Did he ask for a factory owner to be his friend? What did he ask? He said, Allah, wa alhiqni bis salihin. Allah give me such people as my friends, that somebody who does atiyullah with the Rasul, that you love him and he loves you. Oh Allah, give me this company, please Allah. So are we asking for this? Does our heart feel this? Then Allah says that, why don't you seek that person in the world? Have you not heard the hadith of Rasulullah, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that whoever you love in the world, you will also love that person in the hereafter. In the world, if you are with a person, you will be with that person in the hereafter. Here, we shake hands with the big people, the big shots, frauds, thieves, people who steal money from pockets, who, if we have got something from the world we want to take from the person, we give them tea, we go to their meetings, their cabinets, we speak with them, we lie with them to make friendship. And what are we doing with Allah? Well, hakini bi salim, will we find someone in the hereafter? Will we look for the wali of Allah? Will we find him? Allah, but if you live with the dhakirin here in the world, then you will be with the dhakirin hereafter. If you take the hand of a fakir, a wali of Allah in this world, you will get the hand of the fakir in the hereafter. If you don't recognize the wali in this world, how will you recognize in the hereafter? We'll recognize in the hereafter what status the wali of Allah had. Now, do you have yaqeen that we should sit with good people, pious people, or still we don't have that yaqeen? Look at this point here. This is Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. His du'as and points, that all of my success, he's given a chor, that all of the success of my life, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam is saying, that was on these four points. Listen, the dhikr of Allah, tawakkal Allah, reliance on Allah, and to ask Allah for the goodness in the hereafter, that I can die successfully and have success at the time of death. Khatama bil Iman, and fourth, Sahaba, company of the righteous. He was the Nabi, the Prophet of Allah. And he left four messages with us for this Ummah, Muslimin, that obtain this, Alhamdulillah. The dhikr of Allah, you do it, love of Allah will come in your heart. When the love of Allah comes in your heart, you will rely and trust on Allah. When trust in Allah will come, you will never go towards haram, and you will go towards the hukum, the order of Allah. And the Allah Ta'ala's hukum, you will never go against it. When you get these three things, then your maut, the whole world, will bear witness and testify that he died a beautiful, nice death. The people in the heavens will see, that what people, beautiful creation will come to receive you at the time of your death. Ruh and the spirits and the souls. And the people of the world will see that you died, you passed away. And the success, that how people remember you after your death. Your whole life, people, what they will serve you after your death. Go and see today, those people, the walis of Allah at their graves, those walis of Allah who passed away, who serve humanity. Thousands and hundreds of thousands of juz of Quran are recited for their ithal ithwab. And nobody even remembers the father this much. Who are these people? The walis of Allah promised them that to your seven generations, a wali of Allah who does my dhikr, who is a pious, righteous person, to his seven generations, I will spread his nur and light. To his seven generations from me. And today, we don't even understand this. Look, for example, after doing all this, we need one thing. What is that one thing? Say it loudly. Atiullah wa atiur rasul. That's it. End of story. Simple equation of Islam. Atiullah wa atiur rasul equals success. Allah's order and Rasulullah's sunnah, obedience, imitation. And the person who doesn't have this, all a waste. All a waste, all ibadat, all deception, nothing, all a drama. All a drama. Everything is fake, a mirage. All the majlis gatherings, ibadah we're doing is all a waste. I speak honestly, openly with you, true. Everything is a drama, worship. Unless we are doing Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul, then all of our worship is fine. And we need to leave the world with this. We say, I understand this today. What is the reason of my living? And what do I need to do physically so I can get to success? Otherwise, there's darkness. Do a dua with the depth of our heart. Allah Ta'ala gives us this. Ameen. Allah give us determination, courage. The first rung on the ladder is what? Say it loudly. What? Dhikr Allah. And dhikr of Allah, what is the end of dhikr Allah? The result that if we, until the time we don't get to the point that we have tawakkal in Allah, I won't go towards haram, I won't go towards bad, I won't listen to my nafs, the bad things my nafs saying, then consider that your dhikr is successful. Don't count. Count the beads. Even if you do 100,000 recitations, until the time that I don't get to that level of understanding. And the third thing, that Allah give me death with iman. And fourth, the company of the wali of Allah. Quran is prescribing this to us. Straightforward solution. There's no drama, game, trick. Quran says, ask. Because the Nabi asked this, wa al-hikni bisaleen. Imagine the company of a wali of Allah. Subhanallah. The one moment in the company of the wali of Allah is greater than 100 years of worship without showing off. Amazing. The second in the company of the wali of Allah. But I don't have time today. Oh, who am I going to look for? It's alright, I read Quran myself. I'm self-study, oh, this is a long, long thing that you're telling me to do. But we'll understand that this dunya was not made for aram, for rest and casual relaxation. Dunya was made for what? The dunya was made for making the footsteps, treading the footsteps, lifting up the knees high, running and practicing, not staying at home. Everyone knows how to read Quran, reading tafsir, sitting down, doing tasbih. Everyone knows how to do this. We have to struggle on these things, that look for a wali of Allah and pick up his slippers, serve him, do his khidmah. Then, Allahu Akbar, then we'll get tawaffani muslimin, Allah Ta'ala says, then we will get this. Allahu Akbar. And we'll give al-hikni misaleen. Then we will wander with them in paradise and ask those people who struggled in their life and made effort to serve the wali of Allah, to sit in the company. Oh, I enjoy sitting with Hazrat Sahab, shaking his hand, kissing hands. You know when a wali of Allah comes, look at that drama, long line, kissing his hands and respect. What is this? Is this the practice though? Is this the ocean? There's an ocean. Bring your vessels and containers. Put the vessel into the ocean and then drink to your fill. What's this? You're just kissing his feet and his hands. And you think that this is tawaf. This is like the idol. Worshipping the idol. Allah Ta'ala has made a wali of Allah. Sent the wali into the world with qualities and attributes. Sifat. Then attain those attributes. Learn them. Practice them. Doesn't matter how much effort you have to make in your life. Well, al-hikni bi-saliheen. Allahu Akbar. Allah has given us a destination that you have to be with this teacher thereafter. Look at his maqam and nur and light. Then glue yourself to that person. Don't leave his hand, his company. How can I leave him? He will take me to the akhirah. He will take me to the akhirah, to qiyamah, to jannah. So take hold of the hand of the pious person. Isn't this the case? But who's got time? Nobody wants to go. No, dunya, success, I need to run. Has he got money, funds, bank account, bank balance, he's rich, let's do salam to him. Isn't it? That if somebody dies who's poor, yeah? For example, if somebody dies who's rich, you will be here. There's no room to sit in his house when you go to mourn his death. Every room will be full. But if a poor man like this old man who died today, how many people went to the family to mourn his death, to do afsos? Nobody will go. Nobody. Because he's got nothing to offer. Even after death, when we mourn the death, we're mourning the death of the rich, wealthy, status people. What a dirty intention. Allah. Am I right or am I wrong? Am I right? Am I wrong? Because I do the operation of the nafs and the internal self, the soul. And I'm opening up, unraveling our thoughts. Such a dirty thought we have. You will not have a square centimeter to sit in the house of that person who's died when you go to mourn him if he was wealthy and high status. Then we say afterwards, that can you tell the family that I came? Did they know I came to mourn the death? If they didn't see me, can you tell them afterwards that I came? Because I tried my best to shake the hands, the family of the deceased, but they couldn't see me. So let them know I came so that they know and they're happy with me. Maybe afterwards they can do something for me. Astaghfirullah. The person who's pious who dies, even if he's poor, people, they are ready for him in the heavens to prepare to accept him, his death, his soul. Because when a person who's pious dies, preparation to receive him, the rules of the walis of Allah come to receive that deceased soul, the pious person, they come to receive him. They say, that how was the dhikr, the gathering? Did somebody else come, etc.? They ask the questions. And where today was dhikr happening? And how are your mamalat? And what's the situation? And how many students of yours, are they good students? And they ask the pious soul, has a Fazal al-Qurayshi, has a Ali Murtaza, they all will come. When you will die, inshallah, they'll come. They ask, how is everything? You're leaving the world. Are you fine? Do you want this or not? Then his status is stated. Then live and have the company of the wali of Allah. And put your hand into the hand of the Naqshbandi Shaykh and follow his advice and guidance and tariqah. I'm a box hollow. I'm a sinner. Sayakar, badkar, humble samrullah. But when I realize this point, then the dunya and the hereafter, success will come by serving the wali of Allah. Then as long as my Shaykh was alive, 20 years, not one day did I rest. Wherever I had the money to buy an air ticket, I left my shop, my business, then my house, my family is witness to this. I left my home, my family, my shop. I had nothing. Tawakkal Allah. I didn't have any expenses money. I bought the ticket, I went and flew, and I did ziyarah of my sheikh. 1 week I'd say I'd see him, watch him. وَأَلْحِقْنِ بِصَالِحِينَ. This is the tafsir of the verse. If you take the company of the wali wala today, then tomorrow on the day of judgment, this will be a benefit to you. You have to make effort. And here, if somebody asks me today, if somebody had that, I eat, drink, and go to sleep. That, do you remember that time when you used to be hungry? You would go to see your sheikh. You had nothing to your name. 15, 20 days without eating in Medina and Makkah. You lived the life. You used to sleep on the road, on the pavement. You had one sheet, one cloak. People used to kick you on the side in the night. I'm telling you this. You used to kick you in the night when you're sleeping. You know they come, the guards, to wake you up in the night. They don't let you sleep in Makkah and Haram Sharif. And they used to kick from the left and the right. Then you'd have those long rugs, the carpets, the people roll. Then I used to roll them over me and I used to hide in them. And you'd be sweating. And you'd have one bunyan, one vest, one kameez. I'd suddenly get up after 1 hour to go and see my sheikh. They ask me, do you ever remember your hardships and difficulties? And I say, peace when I hear that. Beautiful when I think of this. So if I cannot forget all of this, then my friends, if we take a few more difficulties, eat halal, live life correctly, then after death, will I have any difficulty? Will I remember the difficulties? Because that is the most peaceful place. Now we should experience this. Brothers, we will forget totally, wallahi, the difficulties of this world when you go to the grave. So we shouldn't worry about the problems of the world. I'm speaking to myself. You are pious. You are angels, good people. I'm not telling you this. I'm speaking to myself. I'm looking at my reflection. I'm saving myself. I should become a good person, a human being, a proper human being, and understand the reality of this life. Because everybody, for example, has got problems and issues, and we have to persevere. Let's persevere and withstand. Say Alhamdulillah, say praise be to Allah with happiness when problems, worries, and whatever calamities come, destruction, tragedy, someone swearing at you, laughing at you, mocking you, jesting you. What's this face you made, you mulana? Listen nicely, smile. When you close eyes and die, everything will disappear, the world, and you won't know who was mocking you, jesting against you, laughing. Will people say this to you in Jannah? Allah will ask you that those who used to do dhulm against you, oppress you, do you remember that? You say, Allah, that not even that one, after coming into Jannah, I've forgotten everything in the world, Allah. That 1 second angelic of Jannah have made me forget all of the problems in the world because I've reached to my manzil, my destination. So brothers, we need to make effort. Do you understand? And that just by sitting there say, this is deen, that is deen. No. Stand, struggle, make effort, do mujahid, make effort, wajahadu fina. Allah says, make effort, strive, do good deeds. And the path Allah Ta'ala has given to us to get close to Him. Let's practice these. It's a big, big thing. May Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq and you all. Ameen.